Good morning. Take your Bible and turn once again to Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. And today, by God's grace, we are going to move on beyond chapter 3, verse 18, and see what kind of ground we can cover. But there are still some loose ends we need to tie up in connection with the matter of a wife's submission to her husband. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul writing, and please notice we are going to be looking at passages of Scripture written by different men so that the supposed anti-woman bias of Paul is not standing by itself. But what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, you'll find Peter echoing in 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, were they women haters? Not at all. Not at all. Don't let the politically correct crowd, the feminazis, turn you away from what the Bible has to say. Ladies, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, obviously you want to do what the Bible says. You want to do the will of God, so let's look at it. Clear-eyed, nose to nose, get right down to business, and let's look at the Scripture. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now, in the past broadcasts, we have looked at Ephesians chapter 5, and if you are just joining this series, you might want to jot these references down so you can go ahead and study them and get yourself caught up so you don't feel like you're floundering in this subject matter. We looked at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through the end of the chapter, and we've also been spending a good deal of time on 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 begins, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands," very much in line with what Paul said to the Colossians and what Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 5. But while the first six verses of 1 Peter chapter 3 deal with the woman or are directed to the woman, to the wife, notice please verse 7 is full charge, full bore, right at the husband, loaded for bear. And there is no way, gentlemen, that you can avoid what the Bible says. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Now, there is a very practical reason for treating your wife right. It's extremely practical, and it is extremely profitable to get it right. And we're going to get there when we get to the end of verse 7. But let's go back now. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel." And as in preceding broadcast we pointed out, weaker does not mean inferior. More delicate? Yes. Fragile? Perhaps. Beautiful? Yes. Worth a lot? Oh, yes. My friend, Scripture says, "He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord." When you look at the last chapter of the book of Proverbs, it says, "The virtuous woman is extolled as having a price far above rubies." We get the idea here that there is something to be treasured about the proper kind of woman. And the proper kind of woman, when you look at the passage there in Proverbs about the virtuous woman, she is not a doormat. She's not some mindless, brainless, dummy. She's not somebody just drags around and tries to keep out of sight and be humble and meek and all the other misconceptions. You notice the woman who is the virtuous woman there in Proverbs is described as being an enterprising woman. She is able, she's in manufacturing, she's in business for herself, she's doing, and in her doth her husband safely trust. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Not a doormat, but certainly a virtuous woman. This weaker vessel, the emphasis is not on the weaker vessel. The emphasis is on giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Taking care of, yes. And there are some women, "Well, I don't want that. I don't want to be treated like I'm some sort of porcelain doll. Hush up a minute. And look what the Bible says, and notice, please, it's a command, ladies. You don't have to like it, but you better get used to it, because if your man's right with God, he's going to do what the Bible says, and in time I suspect you'll come to like it a lot. Look, why kick against the Word of God and still maintain the pretense of being a woman of God or being a man of God. If you're right with the Lord, it's because you're in a right relationship with Him based on what the Bible says. Now, giving honor unto the wife? Yes. I was mentioning yesterday, a man is not giving honor unto his wife by calling her the old lady or the ball and chain or the old woman. I've seen men ridicule their wives, and it about like to break my heart. I was in a situation where I watched a man mistreat his wife. I was embarrassed for him. I really was. How in the world can a man hold his head up, call himself a man, and treat his wife like she's some sort of a subhuman? A man wouldn't treat his dog like that. Dog would bite him. Giving honor unto the wife. You ever have company over? Your husband say, honey, that was some of the best pork chops I've ever had. That meat was cooked to perfection. Now, you know, that doesn't cost you anything, gentlemen, to brag on your wife like that. Oh, and incidentally, ladies, it does go the other way, too. On occasion, you may ask why, but on occasion, I have been in beauty shops to catch somebody, you know, get a chance to talk to them or whatever. And I'm appalled at the way women talk about their husbands. Now, I don't know that what I heard was coming from any Christian women, but ladies, I hope that you don't badmouth your husband to other women or to your kids or to anybody else for that matter. Because, you see, that's not in keeping with the way the church is supposed to treat Christ, is it? Of course not. Let's go back here once again to verse 7. He says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. He doesn't say as being the big shot with your second-class citizenship wife. Doesn't say that. Heirs together. On the same level, in the sight of God, male is not better than female. It took a wife, it took a woman to complete Adam. There's no man alive who is so self-sufficient as to not need the companionship and the civilizing effect and the gentling effect of God's choice for a wife for him. He says here, as being heirs together of the grace of life. You're on the same team, pulling the same direction. Don't grab the rope in different ends and try to go different directions. You're the same team. I don't care if you want to look at yourself as a couple mules, couple oxen, couple, I don't care what it is. You pull in the same direction. You got a job to do, get it done, work together. Don't pull yourselves apart. Being heirs together of the grace of life. Now notice, please, verse 7 is directed to the men, and look what it says, that your prayers be not hindered. I mentioned in an earlier broadcast, the relationship that you have with your spouse has an impact on your prayer life. Now I'm going to say something here that it may jar on your consciousness. I mean, I want it to. I'm doing it for the shock value. I want you to think about it. No man is right with God who is not right with his wife. No woman is right with God who is not right with her husband. Nor can any woman be right with her husband who's not right with God, and no man can be right with his wife if he's not right with God. Now that may sound like so much double talk to you. You take the time to stop and think about it, say those words out loud, think it through. Here you will notice in verse 7, your prayers can be hindered if you're not in a right relationship with your wife. And a man comes to me and says, preacher, you know, you're always talking about getting answers to prayer and that kind of stuff. Now, I've got a decision I've got a decision I've got to make. Maybe it's changing jobs, going to move, or make some major purchase. I need to know what to do here. And I'm praying about it, and I ain't getting nothing. You know where we begin? How are you treating your wife? Things all right between you and your wife? Let's talk about that for a while. Because, my friend, there are only two reasons. Well, there's only one reason that a man doesn't get answered to prayer. And it all comes back to one word, sin. Now, we can fine-tune that. We can look at what David says in Psalm 66, verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." I find in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us." Wait a minute. There are only two things that keep you from getting your prayers answered. Number one, you're asking for something that's outside the will of God. You see the little book of James there in chapter 4. He says, "Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss," for the wrong reason, "that ye may consume it upon your lusts." But ultimately, it comes down to sin. Now, in this case, when I ask a man, "How are you treating your wife?" Notice, please, if he is not treating his wife, if he is not giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, if he is not doing that, whether it's through ignorance or deliberate choice, his prayers are going to be hindered. He's not going to get what he's praying for. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems to be something rather significant. If there is something that comes, and the scripture comes right out and identifies as being an obstacle to effective prayer, I think Christians ought to pay attention to it. And if a man's not treating his wife right, I don't care whether he's a deacon, sings in the choir, teaches Sunday school, or Sunday school superintendent, or if he's a preacher. If he is not treating his wife as the scripture says he ought to be treating, his prayer life is a joke. It is nothing more than rank hypocrisy. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Let's look, please, at verse 8, just to throw it out there. "Finally, be ye all of one mind." "Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous." Verse 9. "Not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing." "Oh, yeah? Well, I'll tell you what. You think you're..." Been there? You heard that kind of talk? He said, "Nah, that's not the way it's to be." Well, let's go back, please, to Colossians chapter 3. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands," verse 19, "love your wives and be not bitter against them." As I pointed out in an earlier broadcast, there are several times you'll find that command to husbands to love their wives, but you will never find the same thing being said to the woman, to the wife. It's never commanded. Wives, love your husbands. And as I pointed out, the reason is simple. If the man is what he's supposed to be, no woman has to be told to love him. It's a natural response. It's built right in. It's in the specs for what makes a woman a woman. And if she's a Christian woman, God knows what makes a Christian woman love. Gentlemen, there it is. Love your wives. That word love means to love dearly. Yeah, I love her. No. To love her dearly. Well, that's it for the day. We'll come back to this and try to get a little farther down here in Colossians tomorrow. See you then.